Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. Tim and Savage sent us another message on the Montana Talks app here. Now I'm seeing friends on the left on social media. There's a push to share pictures of Commie Kamala and Tampon Tim smiling and captions of bring back the joy. So all we want in elected leadership is someone who is happy and smiles and laughs. We aren't selecting a student council rep. The two people we choose will be in charge of the free world for the next 4 years. Great point there by Tim in Savage. Tampon Tim. David Noble in the house here. Always great to see you. I loved how you made another great point. You got Tampon Tim, and there's Tampon Tester, too. Good reminder. You got to remind folks of that.
John Tester is fully on board with all of this stuff from the crazy left. And, you know, it's just like crazy. Like, the whole... It's just insane to see this stuff. Kamala Harris wants to ban fossil fuels. She wants to mandate EVs. She wants to give all of the illegal aliens, 30 million illegal aliens, give them American citizenship. Decriminalize crossing the border. Push trans ideology on little kids. I mean, these are insane, insane policies that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have. And John Tester's right there with them, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, no, exactly. Hey, I will give old Fussy Bussy some credit here, though. So, I mean, he's got no shot of winning the governor's race whatsoever. But Democrat candidate for governor Ryan Bussy, old Fussy Bussy, at least he is going to show up in Bozeman tomorrow night. He'll be in Bozeman. Now, he won't be at the Trump rally. He's going to do – they've got a few other events going on in Bozeman tomorrow night as well. The Patriots will be at the Trump rally. The pro-Hamas people are having their pro-Hamas rally. Bussy, similar deal. He'll have his gun control rally, I think, at the Rialto or something like that. I forget where he said he's going to be at. Maybe not the Rialto, somewhere else. But anyway, you get the point. But at least he's going to show up and do something. Old John Tester, where is that coward going to be hiding at?
He's been hiding out. He's running a basement campaign just like Kamala Harris is. I find it so funny when these Democrat candidates like Ryan Bussey and James Mullen and all these guys on Twitter, they're complaining that the media is not contacting them to set up a debate. And they're complaining, you know, Jesse Mullen is complaining that Christy Jacobson won't debate him or hasn't. And Jake Eaton responds, hey, dude, number one, you have no money. You have no support. Nobody knows who you are. Why would anybody debate you?
Yeah, you're just sending out weird tweets all the time. Like,
oh, yeah. And then the Ryan Bussey campaign, they're spending $60,000, $70,000 a month. And the most they can do is put out these like weird, creepy little selfie videos on X.
Exactly. Oh, it's just hysterical. Oh, but of course, the fake news media in Montana, John Tester sends out a press release. Copy paste, never any yes. Tough questions.
Oh, and that fake story about the Trump's bills, unpaid bills, we got to talk about that
because
that NBC Montana news story is so fake.
Let's have some fun with that one. All right, stand by. The great David Noble in the house. He'll be with us at the Trump rally, too.
The Brett Baer Minute.
Vice President Kamala Harris is officially the Democratic Party's presidential nominee, and she has chosen Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be her running mate. The pick was met with resounding support from many prominent Democrats, with former President Obama praising the pick in a statement saying Kamala Harris has chosen an ideal partner and made it clear exactly what she stands for. Though Republicans, like Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance, slammed the Minnesota governor for his support of progressive causes. Co-host of The Five and Democratic strategist Jessica Tarloff.
I did think she was going to pick Governor Walz. I only bet $1 on it. I know I could have gone for more, maybe won $10. But it felt like in the last couple of days that the vibes, as the kids are calling it, were shifting in his favor. It was because of reports about Josh Shapiro, about his team, and then Politico had the big piece that came out that said that the interview didn't go well and that Josh Shapiro and his team had acknowledged that.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
the night before the Trump rally in Bozeman, Montana. We're going to have a cool event, kind of like a little pre-funk for the Trump rally. We're going to be doing a cool event at the brewery in Laurel. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I've got that story on our Montana Talks website right now. Or better yet, get the Montana Talks app on your smartphone and you'll see it right there. Plus, we've exposed yet again the fake news narrative against wolf hunting. MontanaTalks.com for that and more.
You can plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, it's going to be great to have David Noble in the house with us at the Trump rally as well. Follow him at LectureFan, at LCTRFan, not only on X, but I think, David, you're going to be doing some Twitch TV live streaming, huh?
Actually, one of my viewers on Twitch actually reminded me, I've got on YouTube a 2018 video on YouTube that's an hour long. That was basically my experience at the Trump rally in 2018 here in Billings. You know, it's just kind of the way I live stream when I'm just remote is just using my iPhone because the Twitch app on the iPhone, you can watch me on the Twitch app, but the Twitch app allows me to just live stream straight from my iPhone.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
The audio and video quality is pretty good. And so I did it in 2018. And so that video is still out there on YouTube. And so I'm going to be doing the same kind of live streaming, just kind of holding a selfie stick, holding my phone up, kind of walking around the venue and just hanging out. I'm super excited about it.
Well, I'm really hoping we have one of the best camera guys I know, video camera guys I know and had the honor to work with us several years ago. I'm hoping he's able to come along with us because you never know who you might run into. I was joking with you off air about at the Trump rally in Billings, and I went to rallies in Missoula, Great Falls, you know, the Bozeman area, et cetera. But I remember Jim Acosta from CNN. Remember he and Trump were, you know, had these contentious back and forth. And I see Jim Acosta there, so I'm like, I'm going to go interview Jim Acosta. And while I'm interviewing Jim Acosta, there's these guys in the crowd. Hey, Jim, you suck! And he's like, see. And they were making some other hand gestures. And Acosta's like, see what I got to deal with right here. You know, it was hysterical.
So where can we find the old Aaron Flint, Jim Acosta interview?
I could probably pull up I didn't do it on camera because I was just cell phoning it, you know, making it easier because I was just one man banding it there. But I should pull that up. Maybe I'll play that in the 8 o'clock hour because it was hysterical. I probably got the old audio in our archives here.
This is history. This is going to be history, though, tomorrow. Tomorrow in Bozeman, we're going to be a witness to history.
Yeah.
Anybody that can show up, I think they should because you're witnessing history.
Even if you don't make it in
Right.
It's just, I mean... it's just something to witness, seeing all the people there and the T-shirts. You've been to a Trump rally before. You know, it's fun. It's exciting. You're smiling because you know how funny Trump is. You know how he connects with the audience. I feel a more seriousness heading into this Trump rally because of the gravity of the situation facing our country. But not only that, but because there was an attempt on his life. I mean, it's like the fake news media and Google want to wipe this assassination attempt against President Trump off the face of the digital earth right now. But it's like they tried to take this guy out.
Oh, for sure.
They are still trying to take this guy out. And our country is on the line this November.
That's a really good point. So I watched some of the Kamala Harris quote-unquote rally. You know, they keep, it's so frustrating because they keep having these big concerts, you know, whether it's Megan Thee Stallion or Bon Ivers or whatever. They have these big concerts, and then they have Kamala Harris speak at it, and then they say it's a Kamala Harris rally. But the one yesterday was bizarre because I was watching it, and they had – it was at the airport – and they had the image of Air Force Two, and Air Force Two was rolling up to the rally, and they've got the stairs there waiting, and they've got the music playing. And it was just, it struck me. This is a copycat rally. This is a Trump copycat. But then I realized, wait, But there's a difference here, because when Trump shows up in Trump Force One, Trump paid for that plane.
Yeah.
When Kamala Harris shows up in Air Force Two, I paid for that plane. There's a little bit.
That.
And so there Kamala Harris is rolling up to her rally like she's got a private jet. No, Kamala, I paid for that. You didn't.
Exactly.
If you want to be cool, show up in Trump Force One like Trump does that he paid for.
Exactly. Exactly. And then try to get the tens and tens and tens of thousands of people that Donald Trump gets at his rallies as well. All right. Definitely want to talk about this NBC Montana story here and costs of travel, et cetera. Let's sneak in a quick call here. Nancy in Roundup, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to remind everyone that today is the 50th anniversary of President Richard Nixon, his resignation. It was a very sad and tragic time in our history. And ever since the Democrats got a Republican president to get down on their hands and knees, they've been trying it ever since.
Good
but
point.
I want to mention quickly Rush Limbaugh, his comments shortly before he died on Kamala. He said, she is the type of woman who would never take orders from anyone. And what she has done choosing this tampon Kim Ross as her VP instead of what the Democrat Party wanted was Josh Shapiro. She has proved his point. Now she's she has split that party. The elderly Democrats are really disgusted with her. And I'm going to tell you something. President Trump coming to Bozeman, okay, all you illegal aliens, start packing your bags. That's his way of telling you to get the hell out of Montana and go back to your homeland.
That ties in with a point that I want to make about, you know, this whole NBC Montana story. What a brilliant point. A couple of points by Nancy. I mean, you know, when it comes to Rush Limbaugh, that would be some great audio to go find. But, yeah, she ain't taking orders from anyone because she is such a radical leftist. She's going to do it. Did you see, no matter how much she caves to these pro-Hamas protesters, they still protest her event. Did you see that? They were still protesting at one of her rallies.
Right, because, and this is why I'm so concerned for Israel right now, because I think that Kamala Harris is going to go to, first of all, there was an article about how Kamala Harris was such a loyal number two to Joe Biden. Really? She stabbed him in the back and took his job. She's not a loyal number two. Anyway, no, it's a joke.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about the... he's got unpaid bills. Oh, you want to talk about unpaid bills? What about all the illegal aliens John Tester allowed into the state of Montana? You want to talk about unpaid bills? Ooh.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Just how big is the U.S. cattle herd? And is heifer retention, thus herd rebuilding, taking place? That is a question many producers are asking. Back in April, we reported that USDA would discontinue its July and January cattle inventory reports, which provided key insight for cattle industry stakeholders to get a feel on the size of the U.S. cattle herd. However, there is enough historical context to which some conclusions may be drawn. Economist Jason Franken has done the work in modeling these relationships.
A modeling estimates the July 1st U.S. cattle inventory to be 94.2 million head, or about 1.2% lower than in July 2023. Hence, it appears the U.S. cattle industry overall remains in a contractionary phase, even if there may be regional pockets of expansion.
Given the continued low inventory and cattle on feed numbers, Franken maintains that 2024 beef production will be 1.1% lower than last year and drop another 4.5% in 2025. As for herd rebuilding, the last few cattle on feed reports show that heifers are making up around 40% of the inventory. One would expect heifer percentage to be in the low to mid 30% range if retention and herd rebuilding was occurring, which analysts say is not occurring. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There's another NBC Montana. I got to say that for our buddy John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. There's another NBC Montana story. This reporter did a good job, though. She covered the craziness at the city commission. The radical left-wing protesters went in, and I think they maybe even tussled with law enforcement a little bit. You know, they're desperately supporting all the vagrants and the transients camping out on the streets.
It's not
and
camping.
So, yes, exactly.
I'm so annoyed. This is one of my pet peeves. It's like
I'm going to just poke
camping.
Here.
Camping is when camping is when I take my family to the weekend up into the mountains with a tent and some sleeping bags and we camp. No, when you're living on the streets, that's not camping. And then those protesters at the Bozeman City Commission, they were saying, because the Bozeman's, they're running generators on the streets in Bozeman to power their AC units in their campers. And so then the Bozeman City Commission was discussing, hey, should we allow people to be running generators on our streets to power their RVs while like somebody's in a house right there? Like, and these people are, generators keep us alive. Generators keep us alive. If you ban generators, we're going to die. And it was like,
how did people survive before generators? There was no people in Montana before air conditioning, David. I just want to give you the proper history, right?
Right.
We're on stolen land. Right. We won't survive without generators.
Oh man.
For Pete's sake. I knew I'd trigger you with that one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, since we're on that NBC Montana story here, let me see. Mayor Krause, the ex-mayor. He was a great mayor of Bozeman, wasn't he? Mayor Krause, he said this. Brianna Carroll with NBC Montana, commissioners were discussing what potential policy changes they wanted city staff to research, such as implementing a permit system, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Mayor Krause said this via X, the street people show they are to the meeting as they are to the health and welfare of our city. That is to say, disruptive, engaged in illegal activity, unwilling to be part of a contributing community. So what they showed with their antics at the city commission in Bozeman earlier this week is that they're just here to disrupt and engage in illegal activity, and they do not want to be a part of a contributing community. That's what former Mayor Krause had to say.
I mean, it's true. I mean, they were disrupting the city. The whole impetus behind this is the Supreme Court finally overturned that ridiculous Ninth Circuit ruling that said you basically had to allow homeless people to like live anywhere on public property unless you could show that there was like freely available homeless shelter beds. It's like, no, that's not. So now that that's gone, now finally these cities can finally do something about this massive homeless problem.
If they want to. But unfortunately, most of these liberal-led cities don't want to do anything about it. They want to encourage it because they want to, they want to import migrants, whether they're illegal aliens or transients from other states, to replace you.
And even conservative cities like Billings that has a liberal city council are having the same problem.
We don't
have our city council and they're not doing enough to take care of the problems we've got here.
Yeah. Here's the audio. I can only use a short piece. I think Laurel Staples, is that who's on NBC Montana? She was anchoring the coverage, but Brianna Carroll is the one who was reporting. Here's just a sample of their coverage last night.
The Bozeman City Commission's work session to review what's working and what's not with the city's urban camping ordinance went off the rails when some residents started to chant. Members of the Bozeman Tenants United forced the meeting to a great recess.
The chanting.
Oh, it's hilarious.
And they call us weird.
Yeah.
And they call us cultists.
Right.
You know, but they're the ones that do these weird chants. They're the ones that want tampons in the boys' room, you know.
Right.
Whatever that says. Smoking in the boys' room. Now it's tampons in the boys' room.
I love these. I just love seeing these radical leftists protesting and chanting and interrupting Kamala Harris. And boy, was that off-putting when Kamala Harris like dealt with those protesters. And she's like, you know, I believe in a democracy and I believe everybody has a right to speak. But I'm speaking right now. I'm speaking now. And it was just like, geez, okay, I get it. You're speaking now, but like, there's better ways to deal with protesters. But I can't wait to see some of the actually some of my favorite content to watch is to go back to the 2016 election night media coverage. And you can find those YouTube clips on YouTube of all of the meltdowns by the mainstream media and things like people like the Young Turks and Cenk Uygur on election night 2016. That was just one of the most beautiful things to watch. I'm hoping to get some of that same content here election night 2024.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Man, I thought I snagged that audio too, but I didn't yet. But I need to grab that. But yeah, the Kamala Harris dressing down, losing her cool.
Right.
From her own pro-Hamas people at her own rally. I'll try to rack that up for you here in just a second. But first, in 60 seconds, let's go. That was a good report from NBC Montana. Let's go to the other NBC report after this.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Tropical Storm Debbie is back over land now, bringing the threat of more flooding from the Carolinas up to Maine over the next few days. National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan.
We could still see an additional 3 to 9 inches of rain in some locations, with storm total amounts approaching 25 inches in some parts of coastal South Carolina.
That's where the storm made its second landfall overnight. The first was in Florida Monday. Tebron Honey is executed in Utah for the murder of Claudia Benn in 1998, the state's first execution since 2010.
She was a mother of his girlfriend and grandmother of his then 2-year-old daughter, who was there at the time of the murder. Honey convicted of slashing Benn's throat and sexually assaulting her after a day of heavy drinking and drug use.
Fox's Lillian Wu. Stocks are higher again this morning on Wall Street. The number of new unemployment claims is down slightly. The number of people still on unemployment is up slightly. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, yeah, David, so, you know, it's kind of funny because you and I, we waste our time on Twitter so that other people don't have to. Actually, I would still encourage people to get on X, get on Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Like, she goes by the name Tester Will Not Be Elected. She is just hammering these guys, and that is a huge service because it bursts their bubble. But we could see what the fake news media was going to report, because the Democrats send out a tweet about it. The media follows up with a fake news story about it. And that's what happened with this story here. The Democrats are like, oh, well, Trump didn't pay his bills to Billings from his last rally. It's like, you guys, how do you even get away with putting out this phony nonsense? But they do. And then the media in tow follows their fake narrative.
Well, and what bugged me so much about that article, and you're exactly right, like that was a Democrat talking point line for about a week, and then NBC News does a story pushing the Democrat talking point that they've just been pushing for the last week. But the worst part about that story was that they failed to include two pieces of information. Number one, which is that the cities that host presidential rallies never, ever, ever actually expect to be paid by campaigns, and the campaigns never pay the cities because there's no they have no legal requirement to, right? And so it's like if you call the city and you say, hey, I could use some police help over here, then they send the police out. You don't get a bill in the mail for that. You don't have to pay when you need the police to help you out. You know what? The police are paid for by our tax. I'm paying exorbitant amounts of property taxes every year to pay for our police officers. It's not the Trump campaign or the Trump White House's job to pay for the city of Billings police officers. But number two, that article failed to disclose that these cities that quote unquote sent an invoice to the Trump campaign for their police, they have no valid legal basis to demand any campaign pay for their police, that local police that provide security. There's no legal basis for it, right? So, like, if the city of Billings wanted to sue Trump and say, hey, Trump, you got to pay for our police, we had to have police officers help secure your Trump rally in 2018, they wouldn't win the case. They've got no legal basis. And so that was not included in the article.
Yeah,
either.
And not only that, but if the Democrats actually had somebody on their side of the aisle that could draw a crowd like Donald J. Trump is going to draw, they are not going to be able to get everybody inside the Brick Breeden Field House. That's just how it is. If they actually had somebody on their side that had that kind of support in Montana, there was excitement for Barack Obama in Montana in 2008 from that side. He still didn't win Montana, but he got a lot of enthusiasm out there. But he's still – okay, so he packed West High in Billings. Okay, well, Lottie freaking duck compared to a Trump rally. But you know what they would do if it was a Democrat? drawing tens of thousands of people to Bozeman, Montana. Look at the economic development. Oh, look at the restaurants and look at the shopping. And I mean, oh, it'd be massive economic development. But Trump comes to town. Oh,
it's a cost.
What's the cost going to be here?
Right.
Oh, good night. All right. More to follow back after this.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I know we got some callers on the line we want to get to here as well. David Noble, always appreciate you joining us here on the show. Let's see real quick. This is from Fox News. Yeah, Kamala gets heckled by her own pro-Hamas protesters. You'll hear the audio of the protesters and then Kamala eventually telling them off. Here you go.
If he is elected. Because we believe in democracy. Everyone's voice matters, but I am speaking now. I am speaking now.
And then eventually she says, you guys are going to get Donald Trump elected. And it looks even worse when you see it than when you actually hear it. But, you know, to me, this ties in with, I think, a broader, more important narrative here, David, which is they just don't get it. There is no negotiating with terrorists. There is no negotiating with terrorist supporters. And that's who these pro-Hamas people are. They are terrorist supporters. There's no negotiating with them, but yet they keep doing it.
Right. And as far as I know, the right to free speech does not extend so far as to allow material support and open support and calls for terrorism and calls for genocide. But who knows? Maybe it could be wrong on that one. But no, the way that she should have handled that is the way that Donald Trump handles protesters, which is out, out, get them out.
Yeah. Speaking of rallies, I mentioned how old Fussy Bussy is going to be doing something either in Bozeman or Helena or wherever. But Tim and Billings raised a really good question. Will attendees for the Bussy event need to wear masks and be vaccinated to attend? Will Rafe be checking at the door? That's hilarious. Rafe was, of course, the lockdown lawyer for Bullock, who is shutting down churches but keeping, you know, Planned Parenthood abortion mills up and
running.
Hey,
good chance to remind everybody. Judge Dan Wilson, candidate for the Montana Supreme Court, he shut the Bullock administration down when they tried to shut down businesses in the Flathead during COVID. Bullock tried to sue businesses to shut them down during COVID, and Judge Dan Wilson said, no, Bullock, you don't have the power to do that.
Oh, he's
so
great. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Vote for the Sons of Montana, Judge Dan Wilson, and for Chief Justice, prosecutor, and a veteran who actually went to Iraq several times, by the way, Corey Swanson, another son of Montana running for the Supreme Court. Tim and Savage also tells us on the Montana Talks app, we were talking about that city commission meeting in Bozeman. The people that were there that were protesting were also social distancing, and many of them were wearing masks. That's the first sign. If they're wearing a mask, you know they're just a complete nut job leftist that's still wearing these masks at this point.
Or
unless there's some elderly guy that has a medical issue going on,
no,
and it's just
or
abundance of caution, you know, whatever. Yeah,
there's some of that, but I think a lot of it, too, is severe mental health crises that people are going through. And you see that in the data and the statistics bear it out to where, and you've seen a lot of this going around on X lately about how conservatives report very high levels of happiness and mental health, and liberals are reporting very, very low levels of mental health quality. And so, you know, I feel bad when I see somebody wearing a mask. Honestly, it makes me sad, and I feel bad for them because I know that inside that person is really struggling.
Yeah, I think that you see that a lot. But you're right. There is data that shows that these young leftists. Actually, they do. They are struggling with mental issues. I mean, it's just that's just what the data says. We're not trying to be mean about it. I think what David is expressing here is a compassion for some of these young people that have. They've been fed so much garbage and so much BS.
They haven't been raised in the truth. Is the reality. And so when you're not raised in the truth, and you don't have strong family values, you don't have strong religious values, like you do end up suffering from depression and anxiety and an emptiness and an empty feeling and all that stuff. And then you try to fulfill that. You fill that spiritual blankness with communism and socialism and COVID insanity. And then you get your religious fulfillment and your own spiritual fulfillment by saying, hey, no, I'm a good person because I support communism. That's their fulfillment.
And it is sad because even kids in good homes still struggle because it's just
for
being
sure.
a kid, being
Absolutely.
A teenager, right? But there is something to where something about these kids' lives, they don't feel special. So they have to try to feel special in some way. And so they try to feel special in the way that is celebrated by pop culture, which is, oh, well, chop off your body parts or, oh, do this or, yeah. And that's how they feel special. That's how they then get attention because they're basically told, ah, if you're just some normal, boring white kid, you're not special. So
Actually, you're an oppressor and you're an evil person.
You're awful. Yeah. Yeah. But become a girl or a girl become a boy. Now you're special and you're no longer a white evil oppressor.
So tell people that, you know, they're an oppressor and that they need to decide if they're a boy or a girl. And when their little kids tell them that and then wonder why they've got mental health problems later on.
Yeah. Good point. Let's see. Tim in Billings, did you have a quick thought for us?
Real quick, you're talking about the mental health. Compare the Kamala rallies with the Democratic Socialists of America rally. There's a video on YouTube. It's comedy gold. It's just insanity. David knows what I'm talking about. But people going to the Trump rally, take cash, write on those bills, no tax on tips with Trump and Sheehy. Or when you go to the restaurant, write on your ticket, no tax on tips with Trump and Sheehy. Remind the people who are working in Bozeman that it's in their best financial interest to vote with Trump and Sheehy. That might actually get through to them. But, yeah, compare a Democrats rally to that Democratic Socialist of America rally. Watch that video for about 5 minutes, and you'll see exactly how insane they all are.
Yeah, and Travis told me you wanted to say something about, hey, if you're going to the Trump rally, bring cash. Is that for the swag or what?
Take cash and write on the bills. No tax on tips.
Ah, okay. Yeah, there you go.
That are taking your money, remind them, hey, taxes on tips, they're going to be gone under Trump and Sheehy.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, and Senator Steve Daines here has already introduced that legislation as well. David, man, what else is going on out there? Or you want to react to what Tim had to say?
So my woke up update of the week here is Kamala Harris saying in 2017, quote, "We have to stay woke, like everybody needs to be woke." Kamala added, quote, "You can talk about who is the wokest or the woker, but just stay more woke than less woke." And so that's Kamala Harris. Those are quotes from Kamala Harris in 2017 saying that she is woke and that everybody should be woke. So I thought that was a decent woke update.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, I think here we go.
You got
I knew
the audio?
We got the audio. I didn't play
nice.
It. This was 2 days ago. You know, you're always prepared. We always have more content than we have time to get to typically. But yeah, here's the audio for you.
We have to stay active. You know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
The nonstop cackle.
What is so weird? Last night, she was doing the same thing last night during her rally where she was laughing as she's, like, talking, and she was just doing the same thing there. It's so weird. Like, why is she cackling like that while she's talking?
Yeah, it's a nervous cackle. I don't even like to hear myself laugh. Travis could tell you, he cut a great promo one time. It was a caller, and then I made a point, and then I was laughing. And I loved what the caller had to say, but when I would hear the promo, I just could not stand to hear myself laugh. I was like, hey, Travis, would you mind cutting that one out? I just can't. Right. But she just cackles all the freaking time. It's crazy.
It is.
Gary and Billings, you got something quick for us.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I was listening to Glenn Beck last night, and they had this gentleman on that regulates these donations, and they were talking about how they skew the amount of donations to large amounts that is not necessarily true, and so it just goes to show you. The other point I was going to tell you that in yesterday's paper, they have all these big articles about Tim Walz. It says how he become so beloved by young voters, and the Gazette has three or four articles build this guy up too. I mean, it's almost like
one Tim, the stolen valor guy who never went to Iraq, gets several articles, but a real actual combat veteran like Tim Sheehy doesn't get the same love from Lee newspapers. Big surprise there, right, David?
Well, and the real story here is how Tim Sheehy, how humble he is and how good of a person he is, because he's not bragging about his military service. He's not lying. And he actually has a lot to brag about that he doesn't brag about.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody I know that's talked to Tim Sheehy says, every time I talk to Tim Sheehy, my opinion of him goes up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He wins people over everywhere he goes.
And I feel the same way with my experience with him.
Cool shoes. My brother would love those.
Ooh, I don't share my sources.
Well, I just found them using Circle to Search with Google on my new Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 6.
What?
And I texted them to my brother on the other side of this massive screen.
Where did you get that phone?
Lucky for you, I don't gatekeep my sources. Tell them.
Get your own Galaxy Z Fold 6 now at Samsung.com. Requires internet connection. Results may vary by uniqueness, clarity, and framing of circled image and related factors.
Fox News commentary.
DHS halted what amounts to a migrant airline travel agency after massive fraud was uncovered. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, talking to lawmakers weekly from opposite sides of the political spectrum about the issues of the day and how Americans can find common ground in a politicized world.
That's just not happening on Capitol Hill. It takes leadership, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Along with all your Brett Baer favorites like the campaign, the candidates, the all-star panel, and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember that Biden-Harris workaround program that allowed migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela to fly directly into the U.S.? The program was never authorized by Congress. It ushered in nearly 500,000 since October 2022. But now, due to massive fraud, it's been put on pause. A DHS review found that tens of thousands of those applications submitted by special migrants may have contained fraudulent info. Examples include bogus or unverifiable sponsors, many with the same addresses used for multiple migrants, also fake social security numbers and zip codes. DHS has decided to freeze the program for now, but they don't want to scrap the program altogether. Oh, no. They want to ramp it back up again, but next time with better measures to safeguard against fraud. The damage has been done, but the best we get from DHS is they'll try better next time. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
All right, Semper Gumby, once again, always flexible here on Montana Talks. A, because this is the show where you get to talk, so we like to take your phone calls anyway. We don't want to overbook the show with too many guests, but there's been a lot of big breaking news this week. But also, with the big Trump rally taking place in Bozeman on Friday, we're keeping the phone lines open in case there's big guests, in case there's breaking news. Plus, we want to hear from you. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Paid for by Sheehy Victory Committee.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I know some people are out there probably thinking, Aaron, why haven't you been covering or talking with David about all of these stolen valor incidences by Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's running mate, the governor of Minnesota? You know, wacky Walz, crazy Kamala. Well, part of the reason why we didn't dive into that story this hour is because we covered it in depth in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. I even had Christina Wong, national security correspondent for Breitbart News, join us in the 6 o'clock hour as well. And so, so anyway, if you missed the 6 o'clock hour, you can get it on the Montana Talks podcast. Should be live. Actually, maybe live already. I don't know. But David Noble, I mean, I am interested in your take on this. You know, look, here's the deal. I think if Tim Walz had just been honest and humble about his record, he'd be fine. I mean, even dodging the deployment to Iraq, he could have said, look, I despise the Iraq war, so I didn't want to go be a part of that. Whatever. But no, instead what he did is he has lied about it. He in pushing gun control, he claimed that he carried a weapon in war when he never went to war. He claims he retired as a command sergeant major when he got busted down in rank, so is not a retired command sergeant major. He also commits these technical lies where, well, I served in an Operation Enduring Freedom. You were in Italy, man. You weren't in Afghanistan. Now, maybe you were supporting, you know, from Italy, but like, why do you have to embellish? But back to your point about Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, he's a Navy SEAL. He also has an Army Ranger tab. He has the Bronze Star for Valor. He has a Purple Heart. And yet, look at how humble he is. But yet this phony Tim Walz has to embellish.
I'm just glad that there's folks like you and other folks out there that are willing to criticize Tim Walz on this issue, because genuinely, I don't feel comfortable attacking Tim Walz on this, since I'd never served, and I don't feel, and he served for 24 years. I'm just not going to go on the attack against him on his military stuff. I'm glad that somebody like you will, because who am I to criticize Tim Walz and his military stuff and what he said about it? He served 24 years in the military, and I didn't do anything. So I really am not comfortable attacking him on it, honestly.
Well, and I said it earlier this week, hey, thanks for your service. But when he did not – when he dodged a deployment and made his men go and he didn't go with them.
That, I mean, that sounds pretty bad.
I mean, you know, that to me, that's like, hey, I can still thank you for your service, but at the same time, you're not ready to lead. You're not somebody who should be leading America if you didn't have the courage to lead your men when they expected you to do that. But these young kids went over there and sacrificed and lost limbs and lost their lives on a 2-year freaking deployment.
Well, we were talking last night on my Twitch channel about Tim Walz's finances, because I guess I don't know when these financial disclosures were put out, but I J.D. Vance is like a multimillionaire. He owns over interest in over 100 different companies. He's got, you know, Kamala Harris has millions of dollars in assets. Tim Walz owns nothing. He has no real estate. He has no investments. He's got a couple of pensions. He's got a military pension. He's got a public school teacher pension.
So he owns a pretty nice pension there.
Right. But zero real estate and zero investments. And we were talking about this last night. And I don't think that is responsible as a man with a family, with a wife and children, to own at his age, in his 60s, after a long career, to own no real estate and to own no investments. I think he has failed as a family man, because what is his family going to do if something happens to him? And he has nothing to give. He's just spent all of his money, all of his income he's earned over his entire career. He's just spent it. He has nothing to give to his kids or his wife. I mean, that to me is not.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, yeah, most people are like, what are we leaving for the next generation?
We're called to be good stewards of our money, and we do want to give to the next generation. Tim Walz is not there, and I think that's a character flaw.
You could say, well, maybe he's just a minimalist. Or maybe he's just a guy who went on how many dozen plus Communist Party paid for trips to China. Maybe he's a true believer, is what that
means. Maybe his assets are somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah, good question there as well. All right, we got phone lines open coming up at the 8 o'clock hour.